Leslie, what are the factors behind the drop in TV viewership and growth of streaming, especially among younger audiences?
I think the drop's actually across all ages, but it's particularly sort of highlighted amongst younger audiences who have grown up in a space where TV is not a device, but rather TV content available on every device. And back in the past, a lot of people relied on appointment viewing. If I want to watch the show, I have to be seated in my lounge at the right time to watch the 7 p.m. news or the 8 o'clock movie. Now, however, we've got a whole new generation who's grown up with content available at their convenience on every device, whether they're on the go or in the home. And I think that's what's really happening right now is that, content consumption has evolved the sort of TV watching behavior.
Now, never mind Netflix. Why is it that YouTube has already won the battle of the streaming services?
Well, YouTube actually has sort of built this business model around letting people provide users content on every single connected device they have, whether it's a smartphone, a tablet, a laptop, or a smart TV, and give them every piece of content they could possibly want at no charge, whether you're looking for self-help videos, for DIY videos, for makeup tutorials, for music entertainment, or even sort of light TV shows only available on YouTube. You can have all of that at your beck and call completely for free on every device. And what has since has happened, if you look at just the numbers for South Africa, they've amassed a total audience size of over 25 million people tuning in to watch YouTube every single month. And that gives you a really, really clear number where it's far bigger than any broadcast out there, bigger than SABC, E-Media, or the MultiChoice Group.
Now, would you say that we can call Gen Z on-demand viewers?
In fact, what we can call Gen Z are content consumers. And television content is no exception. Whether consuming that content via TikTok, via Instagram, Facebook, or any other social media, TV content is now available in the same format, whether you're watching Netflix or anything else. So what's quite interesting is that the generation of Gen Z has completely grown up in a way that content's available at their fingertips, on the demand, at their sort of convenience, on all of their devices. And appointment viewing, as we know it, is dead.
But what would you say is next?
So it's quite an interesting one. I think TV as we know it is already here. TV as we know it is content available at your convenience all the time. What's going to be quite interesting is to see how you can balance hype marketing and cause a sense of FOMO and jeopardy to drive consumption of particular pieces of content. What I do know for a fact is ultimately that we're seeing globally the sort of trend of consolidation and budget cuts, which means that TV content may become a lot more selective, maybe less high quality. Bigger shows like The House of Dragon or Stranger Things may be few and far between, but the level of consumption by consumers will continue to grow and the demand for content will continue to grow. And that is irrelevant of device. So TV, as we know it, as a place in your home, is now rather a place or an app on your smart device.
Leslie, do you foresee us eventually in years from now on reverting back to appointment viewing, or do you think that's something that's just going to phase out completely and be like a relic?
Look, it's quite interesting. So that speaks to passive and active viewing. And what I mean by that is generally when you walk into a sort of normal traditional household and you put on the TV, something's on. And that's sort of passive viewing, right? Sort of background white noise. Active viewing, and there's a challenge with active viewing that you actively have to choose what you're going to watch every minute of the day. And often that leads to a lot of frustration around search, finding the right thing for the right mood, having the right content available to every single person who wants to watch at any given time. So that sort of answers are not there quite just yet. What I do think is going to be quite interesting, though, is that business models in the back end will change. So a lot of the sort of passive viewing broadcast ways of watching is ultimately driven by how I can cheaply license as much content as that I can at my budget level. Where the difference now is how can I get more consumers paying for every piece of content I have within my library? And that will lead to a sort of evolution of the business case. What is quite interesting to your question is that it does look a lot like pay TV, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm paying for Netflix, if I'm paying for Showmax, if I'm paying for YouTube Premium, if I'm paying for Prime Video, and this is all sort of batched into one little app, suddenly I'm paying for all the pieces of content I consume, and it looks a lot like pay TV. What I do think will be a future trend is that to balance out costs, we'll see a lot more advertising in the streaming space, a lot more ads popping up to keep the cost down. But really, it'll look a lot like what pay TV looks right now. So it will be interesting to sort of see how the consumers adapt to that and what the next phase for broadcasters and content owners will be.